Board. Okay, let's begin. We have a lot to do today, but we are going to run out of time. So let me just start with first a few Maramacomos. Whatever we don't get to through today in the Shaklavataria, till Hayom and Aleph, so just, you know, see what you can dig up a little bit more. There's some interesting things in the Shittas Kamai. I don't want to burden you too much with it, but if you can, you know, just look a little bit, probably I'll add one or two things when we come back. The day that we come back, that I come back, is going to be next Thursday, so you have a little bit of time to prepare. So let's assume that that shiur will be earlier. Instead of 11, let's assume 10. I'm coming in that morning, but, you know, assuming that the, you know, things are usually, I don't want to say smooth, but hopefully, let's make it 10 o'clock, so at least we'll have a double, or close to a double shiur then, so we won't be so behind. After getting through the Shaklavataria here, whatever additional comments we want to make on the Shaklavataria, I want to just, after that, talk about, fill in those other issues that we talked about, Shavapruta, Beishamai a little bit, Kashin Shen Shavapruta Madai, Surihana. So I'm just going to give you, again, I want to do them quickly. Each one is really a bigger topic, but at least to get the basic ideas. So again, going through the Gemara through Hayom and Aleph, which we'll get through a little bit today also. Regarding Shava, I'll probably add to each of these, but just get a familiarity with each of them and see what you can dig up. Shava Kes, again, Kesav Midivrei Sofrim, if we don't get started today, the Rambam Shita, we'll start with that. Then I want to speak briefly about Shava Kesav Kekesef, which is the Tosis on Beis Amid Aleph, and the Tosis, the Ran, let's say in the Ritva locally, on Beis Amid Aleph. When do we say Shava Kesav Kekesef? When do we need Exeris? When do we say it as a Sara? When do we say it as Exeris of Kasuv, Yashiv, right, Larabo, Shava Kesav Kekesef? And when don't we say it? Right, in which dinim do we not say Shava Kesav Kekesef? And what does that reflect about, again, different dimensions of Kesef? Again, a little bit of this overlaps with the Chalipin issue. If you think that Chalipin, at least in the Habamina, maybe even more, is a kind of Shava Kesef din rather than a Kesef din. So that's very important. And I'll probably add some things. Look at the Gemaras that the Tosas and Rishonim quote, above here and above Akama, and Kiddushin about Eved, and so on. And also the Avnei Miluim has an interesting piece. I think it's Sibin Chavav. I think it's where it should be, in Sibin Chavav, on Chavakesef Kekesef, where he also analyzes this question. So that's one thing. The Hagdara of Shavapruta, you know, what is Shavapruta? More importantly, it's important to know the measurement, the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos, and so on, Rishonim Al Atar. But the bigger question, once again, is whether or not Shavapruta is an objective shear, and if it stems from, let's say, the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, or earlier, or whether Shavapruta is something which is flexible and fluctuating. You know, is it not just another way of saying, let's say, the minimum, you know, of what's considered to be kesef traditionally in a given society. Obviously, that is practical nafkaminas, but also, again, we're interested in it, you know, in terms of what do we mean when we speak of kesef? You know, what are we talking about? Buying power or something more legalistic and formalistic? Just as, you know, shava kesef, obviously, is where you have value and hana and buying power, or worth, but you're lacking maybe, you know, it's not formal coinage, right? And this question of, you know, how you're magdir shavapruta in a way is the opposite problem, right? If you take a formal or legal definition of what that means. Once again, the Avnei Miluim, I think it's again Simen Chavav, has a discussion about this and about, you know, it should depend on Moshe Rabbeinu, it shouldn't depend on Moshe Rabbeinu. So look at that. A little bit I want to talk about Beis Shammai. The mission, of course, Beis Shammai B'dinar. We had a little bit again in the Chalipin question. You know, the Bali Tosis were projecting to Rashi based on you know, seeing it as a kind of banta drabyanai, you know, tirkava didinra. So just that whole shaka vatari, a little bit on yud aleph. What does it mean for Beis Shammai to think that the minimum for kiddushin is dinar and not pruta? And you know, how flexible is that? What are we trying to get with that? So that's the Gemara and Yud Aleph Amud Aleph and the Bali Tosis there. Again, we might add to it, but just the Shaka Vatari also about Kesef Tzuri, Kesef Medina. Let's try to just fill in some of the other Kesef issues. Then we want to talk also about Isurei Hana. Again, we've touched on that too. Again, that's a question of having maybe something that is intrinsically valuable or would be valuable under certain conditions, but is stripped of its value, lemaisa, the foal, right, in practice. Because you can't take it to the store and get something from it. So what is that status with regard to kesef? So that expresses itself in a few ways. When you have yisurei hana d'oraisa, so that expresses itself in assessing, you know, how extraneous is the yisurei hana, how fundamental is it, etc. But especially, what's the other way? Let's say you can figure out way there are strategies, let's say, to pull a value of shava pruta from the yisurei hana, even though al pidin it's yisurei hana. Let's say shelo kederech or b'malkam b'chole, things of that sort. That's one issue. Then, of course, in the other direction, let's say you have something which is permissible midoraisa, but asur bahana midrabanan. So what is its doraisa status under those conditions? So for that, just to look quickly, again, I don't want to get too bogged down. These are big topics, but I just want to go, you know, a little bit into them. The Mishnah Nun Vavam and Beis, the Kaddish Ba'orla, in a Mekudeshes, and Tosis there, at least Tosis on the Ritva B'Shem Ha'ra'ah, Alatar. Regarding Yisurei Hana D'Rabbanan, so we want to look at the Tosis in Kiddushin, the Gemara in Kiddushin and Tosis in Kiddushin on Nun Ches Amud Aleph, regarding Chulin Shenishkatu Bazara. And of course, the Sugim Psachim on Zayin Amud Aleph, Amakadesh Bechite Kurdenaisa B'Shashishis, right, the debate about what that is, and especially Rashi and the Ritva and the Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz there in Psachim on Zayin Amud Aleph. Also the Mishnah Melech Hilchos Ishus Perakei Halacha Aleph. And if you get a chance, also Tosis in Chulin and Dav Dalid. That's with regard to Yisurei Hana D'Rabbanan. And then also to speak about Chayshin and Shem Shavu Pruta Madai, which we've also made allusion to, but I want to, instead of waiting till later, might as well just bring it in now. So that's the Gemara on Yud Beis Omer Aleph. Omar Shmuel, Kinshavatam, Rafil Omed Kur Tamar and Bedinar, Chayshin and Shem Shavu Pruta Madai, that Gemara. And Rashi there, Tosis there, the Rosh there, Tosis Riazakain, the Ran, Alatar. I already mentioned that the Ran has his own special interpretation of that Gemara, and then it has to be coordinated with what he says on Ches, that's his on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, but also what he says on Ches Amud Aleph in the context of Ledidi Shavali, when it's less than a Pruta. I already talked about it, but you should see it. And of course, the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Dalet Halacha Yutes, a very famous, famous Rambam, one of the Rambams where he says Yirali, right? A Yirali Rambam, okay? And if you get a chance, the psak in Avon Ha'ezer. What is the status of being Mekadesh with something which is less than a pruta in the place in which you're Mekadesh, but has a value of more than a pruta elsewhere? So these are things to fill in. And then, of course, the Avnei Miluim's discussion of Kesef Shel Hana, which we have already alluded to on Matano Manasla, the Rambam on Matano Manasla Haksir, and the Rambam on Mekadesh B'Milva. We'll do a bigger discussion of Mekadesh B'Milva when we get to it on Bava Mud Beis. But The Rambam in Mekadesh Milva, like the Rambam Matana Menasal Achzer, introduces this idea of Kesef Shalana, and the Avnei Miluim thinks like it's a very, you know, important. I agree. It's a very important theme. So all of that. And then one other thing to look at, and that is in the transition to the Gemara after that on Heyom and Aleph. So, again, I'm not sure how much time you'll have in these few days, but I don't expect to do all this on the Thursday that we come back. But, you know, we'll try to move as quickly as we can. If you, the more you're prepared, the more we could just have a couple of a little bit longer shiurim and then just get through this. But in the beginning of the Sugya on Heyom and Aleph, where the Gemara talks about Shtar, and the Gemara has something here called Shtar Adnei, or whatever. The Gemara talks about Shekein Podim Bohek Teshos Umayser Sheni. So there's a debate between Rashi and the Rajba, like what exactly are we talking about? In what is a Shtar in Hektesh and Maaser Sheni? So there's a discussion, the Rajba in particular, it's about something called Shtar Admei, which is a kind of an IOU, right? As I commit myself in writing, you know, to paying you back. So is that called kesef? What is that? Does that work in Pidgin HaBen? If it doesn't work in Pidgin HaBen, should it work in any kesef? So these are all satellite cases, not satellite, these are all permutations, we'll call them, of the kesef question that we've already done quite a bit about, right? Whether it's the Sma and the Taz or the question of barter and chalipin and pakos mishava pruta, and in these sugyas also. So just want to fill in shava kesef, shava pruta, dinar, isuri hana, drabanan and doraisa, and kaishin and shava pruta b'madai, and shtar adme. These are the other things that kind of fill in the bigger picture of kiddushei kesef. And then, of course, there's more. When we get to it, I already alluded to the letter of the Griz in the Kiddushei Griz, where he talks about where he makes the ha'ara about Eved, Kanani, and Arev, you know, being formulated differently in the Rambam in Hilchos Ishos than elsewhere. Obviously, those two are forms of, and of course, Mekadesh B'Milva is part of the story. So we're not finished with this yet. We're more, but at least to fill in these blanks, and we'll do them as quickly as we can. Agav, the sugya here, there's also something to look at. This, I'll probably make a quick allusion to it. In terms of Bnei Banim Areim Kibanim, we'll talk about it as we read the Shaka Vitar of the Gemara a little bit, but you know, when do we say Bnei Banim Areim Kibanim and when not? In different areas of halacha. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit also. Okay, so that is in terms of looking forward. So again, we'll meet the next time a week from Thursday, hopefully at 10 o'clock. And then again, we might add a couple, half an hour here or there just in the next week, or share maybe in the next week after that, just to, you know, catch up a little bit. The last thing we did yesterday, as we were talking about V'yotzachina Main Kasef and Kicha Kicha Mistei Afron, and Agav, I was trying to explain that one way to look at the whole discussion is that it's just, you know, Machlokas about the Makar. And the question is, you know, it's always good to know the Makar, for sure, but not every time there's a Machlokas about a Makar is it a, like, a life and death struggle, you know, about the character of or the role of the din. So it could be that we just have a machlokas about a makar, and maybe there are some giluye milsa that come from one makar or the other. We'll discuss the tzrichasa in just a minute. Certainly that's one approach. In which case, whatever you say about v'yatzachinam or kicha kicha, you know, you could be still open to the question whether or not, you know, this is a hagdara of Maisa Kiddushin, whether it plays an outsized role in terms of, you know, being a certain kind of kinyan and an oser, you know, and the commitment, you know, and the longer term idea of kinyan and chalos kinyan and Maisa kinyan and so on. Or no, it's just, it's on the contrary, it's, just a kind of a minimal way of concretizing the das makne of this kinyan. And the Das Koner and the Das Machner, or whatever. and it doesn't really reflect any special role here. So you can interchange pretty much, except for maybe a few agav giluye milsa v'yatzachinam and kasef. In kesef adam zel v'yesh kesef adam acher mayniu ha'av and kicha kicha nisteyafer. Or, if not, so maybe, this is what we're really trying to test, maybe whether you learn from v'yatzachinam and kasef or kicha kicha really is very important, and that v'yatzachinam and kasef seems like, on the surface, a much more incidental kind of a limud, and therefore the role of the kesef seems more, the woman who's, the partner in the marriage doesn't even end up with the money, right? It's my new, ha'av. So there is kesef, and it is das makna, presumably, or maybe even we'll see in a minute, in terms of, a minimal kinyan and a technical kinyan. But if we focus on the fact that the father gets it and that that's important, and especially the makar of, the context, let's say, of a contrast to or a comparison with Ama Ivriya and the Adon and so on. So it's more about, whose possessions she's leaving than whose possessions she's coming. It's not about the symbolic, about the Kiddushin. It's more symbolic about, leaving her previous status than embracing her new one. As I say, she may not even be getting the money. And it seems like, then Kesef is a more kind of, trivial kind of a kinyan. So the narrowing of the Yatzachinam of as a mock, the narrowing of Kesef certainly seems to work better with the Yatzachinam as opposed to Kicha Kicha Miste Ephron, where especially if we emphasize that, V'likuchinelu mitzasasei, that, Ki Yikach, it isn't just a limud, but it's Kiddushin is defined or described as Kicha. And especially if we build up Stei Ephron, right, by saying that that makar, right, isn't something that you just have to forget it's regular kosher mishpat, but there's an overlap, or it's regular kosher mishpat because she's a cheftza or partly a cheftza in this kinyan. But if we take the other view, which is what I was trying to do in the hashkafa part, I guess, of yesterday, which is that kicha kicha mistei Ephron, that the Ma'aras HaMachpela was this, transcendent place of tefillah and or and so on, and even more concretely, and by the way, Mordechai asked me the question, right, about tefillah. I said, oh, is a makom tefillah? So he said, well, the Gemara definitely, talks about the Baraglim as Ma'aras HaMachpela is a makom tefillah. What do we need, exotic makoras for that? So what I was trying to explain was that once you have the kivre, avos there, so then, in addition to everything else, it's mishtateach al kivre avos. But what some of the makoras try to suggest is that the Ma'aras HaMachpelah was anticipated as a makom tefillah, or already was a makom tefillah, or already had some special status as a place, and that's why it was chosen, for the place of kivura. Not that once the kvura took place, that's what it became. It's the decision to dafka by this particular plot that is crucial. So I was trying to explain that both in exotic sources and even in more mainstream sources, in terms of nachalas Eretz Yisrael, tchilas nachalas Eretz Yisrael, a special role in Eretz Yisrael, and in addition, the idea that this is connected specifically to Ishus and to the Zugos of the Avos and Imahos, so that it isn't just a real estate context, and not just even a Kedushas Haaretz context, and not just even a Moreshet Klal Yisrael context. Either of those alone would be pretty amazing. Never mind the exotic ones about Tefillah and Kedusha and Yerushalayim Shalmala V'Shalmatan and all those kind of things, which we, can appreciate even if we don't fully understand. But the idea that this is also part of, an expression of Ishos La'achar Misa and the Chiyuv Kavura and the idea that the avos and imahos, not just as individuals but as couples, zugos, right, themselves played a certain role. So it's really kind of the converging of ishus with everything else, and that's something that people often, you know, don't realize. Again, the idea of ishus la'achar misa, expressed in kvura and so on, I think is a very powerful idea. The general idea that this has to do with the avos and the imahos, and therefore with kedusha, with ishus rather, as I mentioned, is something that Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch, I think, mentions. I don't know if I've seen it elsewhere, but I'm certainly expanding it significantly. But just to read the lines, here on page, in the new editions, 508, these pair of graves which the first Jew bought for his wife and himself and for his son and grandson and their wives constituted the first property the Jewish family acquired in its land. The value of family ties, which bind husband and wife, parents and children, and I'm adding, even after death, or the obligation continues, was henceforth inseparably connected with the land of Israel. This value later became the fundamental feature of the Jewish character and enabled the man of Israel to become what he became. Okay. So then he says, two remarks should be added here. Jews are reproached for their propensity for buying and selling, for doing business. It's odd, then, that when our legal minds search for scriptural models from which to derive the legal forms of purchase and sale... by the way, this was originally written in German, so...
Where's the original?
What?
Where's the original German?
I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, just...
which book is that reading?
This is Perush on the Torah. But this is the more... there's a more recent English... a version of the Perush on the Torah that in the last like 5 years or so they redid the English version of the Perush on the Torah. It's more accurate, but it was originally written in German.
Rav Kahn says it's not worth reading not in the original German.
Say that again.
Rav Kahn says it's not worth reading not in the original German.
Oh, I don't know about that. Okay. I'm sure it is. It's certainly much more flowery and bombastic in the original German, but I don't claim to. To have invested in I do read German, but I haven't really invested in the original German of Refresh. Although I do say Gesammelte Schriften when I talk about the collected works. The purchase of the field in Yirmiyahu, the prophet was commanded to purchase a field in... I'm just trying to explain why I'm not quoting in Hebrew, because the Hebrew has no further yichus than the English. They're both translations of the German. But no, it's Lashon HaKodesh, but I'm talking about in terms of accuracy. It's like if you wanted to, it's just like the Mar Nebuchadnezzar, which was written in Arabic. So if you have a good English translation, it's probably per se, unless you think the translation is better, there's no yichus to the Ibn Tibbon, or the Kapach, unless you just think there are better translations, or you like and could, argue for the value of Hebrew per se, but not in terms of accuracy in this case, that's all I'm trying to say. The prophet was commanded to purchase a field in order to demonstrate his faith in the future at a time when the Babylonian forces were already at the gates of Jerusalem. Thus, the only models found in Scripture are from the beginning, are before the beginning and just before the end of our existence as a nation dwelling in its own land. That's just an interesting, ha'ara. He always has interesting ha'aros. And then you can do other things with them as well. But then the key, then he comes back to the Ishus idea, and in the end, also based on the acquisition of Ephron's field as the legal form used in contracting Jewish marriages. The Jew buys his bride is the reproach cast upon us by a thoughtless age. Then he says, it is quite true that the Jew acquires his bride. As we saw, that isn't necessarily true, but that's clearly Machlokas HaRishonim, and even to the extent that it is true, it's not the only aspect, but it's one aspect. More accurate would be to say it's true that the Jew, by means of a mode of acquisition, enters into a relationship with his bride. Okay. But then, as he puts it, she remains... What's that?
That's what it said in the original German.
German. You know, it's with Üschgeschlitten. 100%. That's what I thought it was getting at. But yeah. Yes, it's quite true that the Jew acquires his bride, but then she remains his own, and he respects her as his most exalted possession on earth. Right, and that part of it is definitely Rishonim and different Rishonim. Fortunate are we, this is just a beautiful ending, if on the strength of this memory all our marriages are founded, as it were, at Sarah's burial place, and remain pervaded by the spirit of the marriage of Abraham and Sarah, the spirit that found its final and lasting expression in the purchase of the cave of Machpelah. So what I'm getting out of this, you know, again, the Rishonim already talk about the, you know, Nachlas Eretz Yisrael, but this idea that it's a that it's also connected to the Ishus, and I'm also adding that it is, you know, it's about the Chiyuv Kvura La'achar Misa, which is, you know, again, part of the whole story about Gilui Arayos and Chav La'achrini and other things about the transcendence of the Ishus. And all of this really is a way to build up the Kicha Kicha part that, you know, and again, with the Ravid, who says that it isn't about Sadeh, it's about Mara Samachpela. Right, that's the first time that we discussed all of this. So that just works very well and very beautifully. By the way, the convergence, the transition to the next Parsha, right, this of course transitions in Parshas Chayisara into, you know, the pursuit of a bride for Yitzchak. So there's the burial of Sarah, right, and then the Shiduchin of Yitzchak. And, you know, you could say, well, two different parshas and they have nothing to do with each other. But of course, if this is kind of the end of one marriage or the continuation of the legacy of the Avos and the Imahos, so then, this is my comment, the next parsha is really just not a totally different transition, but it's the same story. So for me, I've always been very struck, and I've mentioned this several times in the past, by the formalistic language, the legalistic language of both of these parshios that dominate Chayisara, right? The bowing and the scraping, you know, Nisi Elokim Ata B'Sochenu, which then triggers the, you know, the need for an audience of Bnei Ches and the Vishtachus and the formal language and the, you know, Kinyan She'em Bo'ir. This is what brought it home to Avraham Avinu, you know, that, you know, history was watching, Bnei Ches were watching and history was watching, because this is a historical purchase, not a real estate deal. And it was a legacy deal and a Klal Yisrael deal and an Eretz Yisrael deal and an Ishus deal. And therefore, you know, you needed the best lawyers and the best money over La Socher, maybe even Kinyan Chalipin, and so on and so forth. But equally, that takes place in the next Parsha. Namely, what's really happening is just really shocking when you think about it, right? Eliezer, who's the, you know, major domo of Avraham Avinu, you know, it's Kan Beso, Moshe B'chol HaSholo, you know, and, you know, when he has to go out and attack, you know, a much bigger army than, you know, he had any right to expect to be able to defeat, you know, he does so basically with Eliezer, according to Chazal, the story of the four and the five kings. But the point is that there's no question about, you know, in Chazal's view, certainly, about who Eliezer is and his loyalty to Avraham Avinu, and we see it again, you know, in the whole Parsha. And that's why it's just, you know, seemingly shocking and fascinating, and then ultimately inspiring, that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Eliezer's being sent on this mission, and, you know, all of a sudden we're treating Eliezer as somebody who's untrustworthy, who might try to squirm out of the contract, who requires, you know, Simna, Siadka, Tachas Yerechi, and the Mokor for Nikitas Chefetz, which is maybe even, you know, actually Brismila and all that signifies, right? So, like, you know, he really didn't trust Eliezer. He needed to get a lawyer with Eliezer and force him to repeat the words and be Nishba ben Nikitas Chefetz and the whole thing. But I think it's exactly the point. It's a continuation of the same Parsha, because Avraham Avinu understood that just as the purchase of Maaret HaMachpelah was L'dorei Doros and for Klal Yisrael and for Eretz Yisrael and for Ishus and so on, so too, right, the methodology and the, you know, identification of the candidate, you know, everything that went into, you know, finding, you know, a bride for the firstborn, you know, Kibi Yitzhak Yikar L'chazara, you know, Eil told us, you know, Yitzhak ben Avraham, Avraham holy das Yitzhak, everything that went into that wasn't just about securing, you know, the right bride for his beloved son and heir. It was about, you know, myself a similar banim, and it was about Klal Yisrael. It was about, you know, who will be the future, you know, residents of the Maaret HaMachpelah, you know, if you will, only in the right time. It was about securing again, you know, the evolution of this fragile, you know, family slash nation, you know, that, and therefore, it you know, as much as he believed Eliezer, you know, as an individual, you know, and knew he wasn't going to betray him, it was important for history and, you know, for Klal Yisrael's history, you know, that it be an, you know, absolutely unshakable contract, commitment, that it be formalized and articulated as a shvua, and so on. So I think it's exactly the same parallel idea, but according to what we're saying, it's even more than that. It's really a continuation of exactly the same theme, namely the theme of Ishus of Klal Yisrael. Family is the cornerstone of the tzibur, of the community, and the building of Beis Avraham. Okay. Anyways, that aside, that has a lot to commend itself in terms of kicha, you know, Mistei Ephraim, and putting a different slant on it. But having said that, so you know, it behooves us to look more carefully at V'yatzachinam and at kicha in the sugya here to see how this fits in. So I just want to go through the Shaka V'Tarya that we didn't do yet till Hayom and Aleph. I think we stopped on Dalet Amud Aleph, and then I want to fill in with whatever time we have now some of these issues. So I think we were at the two dots. Is that where we were? Yeah. So go ahead. Let's just continue, because I want to get especially the Kal V'Chomer, the Tzrichasa in Gufa. Yaakov? Go ahead. Gufa. This is on Dalet Amud Aleph, right? And this is referring to Yetziah mi Avdus, right, from Amma Ivriya. So that's not really our topic, but it flows from the original Gemara, so we'll look at it for a minute. Go ahead. Because Naris is always before Bagras, and she's already out, right? Yes.
Without one, one or the other. So one brings all the parallel. Midahab atoshav asacher. The sanya. Toshav is a konik in yinolo. Asacher is a konik in yinshan.
What are we talking about, by the way?
The person in truma.
Yeah. Achilas truma, whether or not the an eved to a kohen is considered to be sufficiently, right, kinyan kaspo to eat truma. So toshav is kinyan olam. Sacher is kinyan shanim. Go ahead.
So yomer toshav lo yomer sacher.
Yeah, meaning we find this phenomenon that we have seemingly superfluous dinim, right? Because by having both of them, right, it identifies the chamor one. Okay. Good.
So
I'm gonna buy ya.
Yeah.
There it's a question of, you know, redundancy And sometimes, you know, kasav lakra anyway, right? But here we're talking about, it's like where do you have a metzias? Because everybody's a nara before they're a bogaris, so you just never have the metzias of bogaris, right? And Tosis here points out that this would be a question of Yaakov. How would you ever know? Right? The bottom Tosis? That's just always a question of Mafreya. Yeah, go ahead. So it's all a question of Mafreya. Okay, good. But either way, this is the din of islandness, which we're not going to go into right now. Okay, Kamash Malan. Okay, good. Okay, so that part doesn't really add to our discussion so much. But now we're getting to something a little meatier. Okay, go ahead. The Tana. Oh, so what do you think about that? The question is, Okay, but either way, the Gemara is asking, like, why do we need two psukim, basically, right? The Gemara is saying, why Tana Maisam Yach, we have another Makar. Right. It's also interesting, by the way, that that they read out the whole pasuk here. Right? Ki kach ishishu va'ala v'ayim lon shitzachin be'inav kibatza v'abagomer. Usually when the Gemara earlier, so it just has like, you know, ki kach ein kicha ala v'kasef, right? So just like, it could be just v'gomers, or kol paskid lo paska mosh rabbeinu anam lo paskina. I think it's interesting that Rashi emphasizes this, right? Rashi says, "Ki kachish isha ubaala b'tzricha kasuv get lapotra mikichazu kinetziv sefer dekra v'hayim lo timtza." Like, what did Rashi bother with that? Like, what's he adding? I mean, it's a psu, it's a pasuk. What? Yeah. Right, I'm saying what motivated him to say this? And you should know, there's a get. I think, number one, he was bothered by, he had the text that we have, and you're like, why? What do you need the whole Gittin part here? Right. Okay, but I'll suggest something a little more in just a second. Yeah, I think you wanted to say something before also, and I didn't. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, before.
You're holding me to Geirus. But like
but
five.
I say it's a korban, but it's a mitchasan. It's still a korban.
Okay.
But
yeah.
I was wondering about Rashi. Maybe he's the shitasa when he says niknis on the mission. He says labayla.
Yeah.
Maybe he's trying to say it's not like regular kinyan memo. Maybe that's what he's doing here.
What's he trying to say here?
That I mean, just from likuchin, just from kicha, we want to know that we're talking about ishus, about to get. See the habamina, you know, that you can have like regular kinyan memo.
And what would it do?
What would what do?
The Kenyan mama that wasn't felicious.
Was it felicious? Buyer, seller?
What do you mean, buyer, seller?
Like you buy land.
And what does that mean? But we are in the context of Ishus, right?
No, he's saying we want to know from Kika, Ishisha, just the ratio of the puzzle are talking about Kedusha. It's the fact that there's get and there's all that.
Oh, okay. So it's okay. Yeah, I think that's true, but I think we should go. Okay. No, I understand. Okay. Oh, I hear. Okay. So, yeah, but I'm going to go a little further than that. But either way, it's something to bring up. I think Rashi gets it from also the fact, as I say, that the Gemara really quotes the whole get part here. So, again, it's going to be consistent with what we said before, but yeah.
I was going to suggest that Rashi is foreshadowing the end of this Gemara. It's going to suggest that she can be able to with Kesef, and it's going to say she definitely needs to get, so that they're actually foreshadowing it in the beginning.
What do you mean the...
In the end of the Gemara, it's going to suggest Amala Amma Riyah, she can go to the Kesef, Toma Rishu, she can go to the Kesef, Toma Rishu, she can go to the Kesef, so Rashi's out, you know.
Oh, uh-huh. Could be. Maybe that also works out. Okay, well, we'll get to that in a second. Either way, keep going. Yaakov, go ahead. So what are we saying? That we have this other pasuk. Okay. Yeah, so this is the Gemara asking directly the two, right? So the Gemara says, go ahead. Meaning, why do you need a makor for kesef at all? Why not learn it out from Amma Ivriya? What? How do you learn it out from Amma Ivriya again?
Because Amma Ivriya, it's Bia doesn't work, but Kesef would work. So
Bia doesn't work and Kesef works. So in Ishus, where Bia works, Kol Shekain Kesef should work. Ah. So, yeah. It's interesting, the Ramban, right, on that, on this line, right, asks the question, Koshali, right? V'halav mishim kula debiyahu elishin kenyana l'shemishus. Right? So this is why an example of what I mentioned, it's a pretty subtle point, but when we were talking the other day, I mentioned about the kavachomers and the question of interchangeability, either of the relationships or the kenyanim, or the matirim, or the gormim, whatever it is, and how interchangeable they are, etc. Right? So I mentioned that, generally speaking, the Bali Tosas, mostly, again, with exceptions, take the view that, you know, when we look at these Kal V'chomers, we're talking about interchangeability and power, and a straight linear hierarchy. And I said, and the Ramban, Udi'imei, the Ramban, especially the Ritva and the Ramban, or the Ramban and the Ritva, not as much the Rajba, I think, this is just an impression, are much more, sensitive, or much more advocates of the approach that obviously I prefer, and I think is usually the maskana anyway, which is that it's not just about a straightforward kal and chamor, but that it's about the propriety of different relationships and different kinyanim and different matirim for different halakhic institutions. They're not all more and less; they're just different, and they're much more much more subtle than that. So this is another example of it. Again, the Bali Tosas typically will just jump right in, and they'll be not only explaining the Gemaras, in this Kal and Chamor way and not having any kind of reservation or reticence about it, but the Bali Tosas will typically, jump in with both feet and add to it. And why don't we say, why don't we more, and so on. We saw that, on Gimel Amud Beis. Whereas the Ramban, again, with exceptions, because sometimes he does it too, but is much more skeptical and goes further, in trying to even neutralize when the Gemara does it, either as a Dechia B'Alma or to try to conceptualize it more, and he certainly is less likely, to be piling in and adding on. So this is another example of that word, where he asks, right, it's not Mishum the Kula the Bia, it's because Ein Kinyana L'shum, L'shemishas, which is a takeoff on the Gemara, also, as it's coming up, Malam Rivya Shein Kinyana L'shemishas. But it's interesting that he's anticipating it even in this part of the sugya. And then again, when he talks about shtar, Ikilamemar Hov Ein Kiniknes Bishtar, talking about Yibum, Shekona Bakom Makom Ein Mevin Raya. Again, the next line of the Gemara, which is about Yibum, so Ramban's saying, yeah, because Yibum isn't about a regular kinyan, it's about an ishus halacha, or lahakim la'achiv shein b'Yisrael. So these are examples of it. But either way, let's continue. So the assumption of the question was, again, that Bia and Kesef are fundamentally interchangeable. It's a question about the strength of the relationships. And now the question is, what is the answer? What's the answer? Yaakov, go ahead. The Gemara says, oh, so what does that mean? So again, it could be just in the, you know, in the Kalin and the Chamors. It absolutely could be that. It is also possible that, you know, what's being stated here is what? Yeah, exactly. That Yibum is more Nitan Labia, and of course, you know, in the other direction, that Amma Ivrio is more Nitan Lakesa. Then the Gemara says, Mali Bama.
Yeah.
By the way, and this line that Mali Bama Shekene Nikas Bishtar, Tomer Bezusha Nikas Bishtar, that Yivama doesn't have Shtar. Of course, this also echoes Tosis's discussion on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph that we saw the other day. So it's interesting also that the Rashash on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph says, I don't have any problem with the Shtar piece in Yibum because the first husband could be Mekadesh Bishtar, and his Kiddushin is what sets up and is Gorem the Yibum. Okay, so again, that's another example of the things that we already saw. Like, to what extent is the previous husband's, you know, initial Kiddushin Erisin a factor? Is it just the background for the Zika, for the Mitzius of the Zika? Or is it really, on some level, a more substantive factor in the actual Zika, right, in the Svarno type sense? Okay. But either way, that's an interesting, because it comes from this line, yes or no. But either way, again, the Ramban says here, you know, that the way to neutralize this is Yibum is again oriented towards Ishus. And that's the reason why Shtar is not going to be that kind of factor. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so that, it's also, that can be read in two ways. Namely, what we're really saying is, again, just we're playing the Kal V'Chomer game. I don't mean a game, I mean it's, you know, you understand what I mean. Where we're trying to figure out, you know, what's more, what's less, what's powerful, what's, and so on, and that's how to read it. Or is the Gemara saying something more basic here about Am Ivriya, namely the fact that, Yaakov, what would you say? It's much more money-oriented, not only Kenyan-oriented, but particularly even money, meaning it's a financial arrangement. That's the question, whether Am Ivriya really is. Is it an Isur arrangement, is it an Ishus arrangement, or is it a purely financial arrangement? It has elements of all three. That's what's tricky about Am Ivriya. There's an Ishus element, as reflected by Yud. The Sefer HaBatim, actually, in the Kamoy, on these Dapim, you know, goes to a whole, you can't have Amma Ivriya if there's no potential for Yiyud. Amma Ivriya is really a gateway or potential gateway to Ishus. Right, that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that Yiyud, and this comes up again and again, right? The other way to look at it is that Yiyud is, you know, the Metzias of Yiyud is Abdus and Amma Ivriya, and the father selling his daughter into amoship, but we look at that as a separate mechayev or separate mitzius. That's, for example, the way that the Ramban, we'll see in a moment, Ramban formulates it that way in our sugya on Gimel Amud Beis. He says, oh, don't ask me, I'll explain the context in a minute, he says, don't ask me about Yiyud. You know, Yiyud is just a mitzius in the context of Abdus. But the Sefer HaBatim's line is exactly the opposite. There's no Amma Ivriya without the potential of Yiyud. Right? Just like, in a way, some people look at Eved Kanani that way too, you know, that it's a potential gateway to Kedushas Yisrael. Right. There are three elements. There's the Ishus, there is the Kinyan Iser Avdus aspect, and then there's the pure monetary aspect. You know, like we say, oh, Maisi Adayim, you know, if you can sell her la'ama, then you can certainly, you know, collect her. You're selling her ma'isa yadayim, essentially. That's a way to look at it. The more you look at ama in terms of money, right, the easier it is to explain that there's a kinyan kesef, and maybe that's a pshat in the Gemara about giron, right? You go in, you go out. So that seems to be two deos in Tosis here. Which Tosis? Mali Omevri, go ahead.
Neil Kassel would be up. He might be a chinkone bomb every year, come with Isha, Kassel Shakone bomb every year, and then she'll be Isha. You show my coach can be going for a moment of air, Chenikness would be able to make Mr. Kassel.
Okay, that's number one. I'm sorry, is that what the one I was looking at? Yeah, correct. But earlier, the earlier one also, sorry. Tosa starts off by Hu adin matzil minka chiken yotzeis b'sheish v'yova v'simanim? Yeah, so now it sounds like, oh, nothing specific about Kesef. It's not Kesef Gomer, Kesef Kone, Kesef Yotze, Kesef Nichnas. It's a din in, again, Kalan Chomor. So you could substitute for it with Sheish and Yovel and Simanim. The only thing you're worried about is, you know, Pirchas, you're trying to obviate Pirchas from Shifcha Knanis. Okay, good. Keep going. What do you think about that? Is that mechudash? That if you really learn the hekesh from Isha to Ama Ivriya, you need two prutos, because you need two prutos in Ama Ivriya. Why do you need two prutos in Ama Ivriya? So does that apply to Ishas?
No, but it's in hekesh or not.
Right, exactly. So I'm saying this whole first answer of Tosis to this question, as consistent with the question, is once again the idea of interchangeability, and you don't have to worry about kind of the, you know, fitting in the details in a very, like, you know, specific way, but, you know, it's like categories, like brute force applications here, right? So if you need two prutos here, you need two prutos here, right?
We're having a sound here. It's keeping it down to Amir, you make this because of how we have to, the whole of the Yotz, the cats are nicknamed because of.
So this seems to be the one that says that the Yitziyah here is Dafka, right? And that it's a din in, you know, that the, you know, the it reflects what kind of Kenyan it is, right? So again, two days in Tosis, exactly along these lines. Okay, let's continue. So now now the Gemara says v'itzrich l'michtav yatzal chinam v'itzrich l'michtav ki yikach. Now, according to what we've been saying in the whole sugya, which is, right, there are two basic approaches, right? One is that we're just trying to find the right mokar, that, you know, Torah hivalil madanu tzrichim, we'd like to know what the mokar is, and maybe there's some nafkaminas too, but nothing necessarily too radical. And if there are some Giluye Milsa along the way, we want to know them too. But, you know, this is not concept altering, right? So then, the way to look at this Gemara is like, what are the Trichasas? You know, what do you get from each one? Correct? However, if we take the view that what's at stake here is something bigger, namely that if you learn V'yatzachinam, so then Kiddushei Kesef is kind of an extraneous thing, right? It doesn't really capture the essence of the Ishus, the Baisa Kiddusha, whatever. It's you need a Kenyan and you need Das, and it's Xeris and Kasa that this one works. And the context and who receives it and all of that, and the language and so on, you know, doesn't bother us too much because we just want to know that it works, right? But if you take Kicha Kicha, right, that's like elevating the role of Kinyan and Oser and the contractual part. It isn't just a kind of an extraneous thing, but on the contrary, it's part of the Hagdara of the Ishas. Oh, if that's the case, so then these Trichasas are going to be very important. They could be, because they might be characterizing, right, what this difference is. So let's take it slow and see. Okay, so what is it? What is it, Tzrichasa? Whoa, what is that? Kiddushin diyahiv la baal di dahav. Even in the case of Ketana? Presumably, right?
Not.
What?
Yeah.
Ketana Nara, even, right? Or at least Nara.
At least Nara.
Yeah. Therefore, Kotsav Rachmana, Yotzachinam. Now, that becomes very interesting. Right? Why should the... again, we have to go back to the Shalkavatari a little bit on Gimel and Beis, according to some of the Rishonim, but wasn't the Gemara pretty emphatic there that, you know, if the father is in charge of the Ishus, he should get the money, right? That's number one. So if it had been Kiyikach, she would get the money, even though he's the one making the decision? That's a little strange, especially since the Gemara is so emphatic about it, that it's kind of a svara.
Well, if we're only talking about Nara, maybe she would be the one making the decision.
Yeah, it's hard to know if we're only talking about Nara, maybe we're talking about Ketana, right? So, again, V'yatzachinam Kasev is talking about Ketana, right? So, I think what this may signify is, just as that Havamina earlier in the Gemara may signify, when the Gemara said, well, you know, Mechitesi, you know, maybe she gets the money even though he does the Kiddushin, right? And when you freeze frame that, it sounds like the Gemara is going back to that. So I think if the point is that Kicha Kicha is telling us that, well, Kiddushin is Likuchin, this is part of the Haggadah of the Maisa Kiddushin. And, you know, it's not, the Kesef here isn't, you know, kind of, you know, either a technicality to make sure that there's das, right? Or you pay lip service to the fact there's a kinyan. Or maybe to kind of pitsuyim in the sense of, you know, to compensate for, you know, for what? In the case of, well, there's a father here, he's kind of the odd man out, and, you know, and it's his call also, so he's got to get the money. Right? If the kesef is really symbolic of Kesef Shel Hana, Kesef Shel Kavod, the Maisa Kiddushin, you know, the Ishus, etc. So forget about all that. That's not going to go to the father. Might go to the daughter. So I think that just works out very well with the Kicha Kicha. I also think that Rashi's emphasis about the get, and so on, and based on, I think, on the language of the Gemara's more expansive language, works nicely for that as well, going back to what we said before. Because, again, remember, we began the year by noting that the Parsha of Kiddushin, right, is really the Parsha of Gittin. And, you know, there are other indications of that, too. So, the need for get, right, but also the possibility of a get, all this goes to, as we've discussed, to the fact that there is a transcendent kinyan, right, and you need a matir. So what we're saying is, ki yikach, you know, if kiddushe kesef comes to the parsha, you know, which tells you need a get, but also a get works, and so on, like that's a different kiddushe kesef. So maybe that's what Rashi means when he says that, you know, v'tzricha kasuv get lepotra mikichazu. Not that v'yatzachinam doesn't need a get, but the point is, you know, it's maybe despite the extraneous nature of the kesef, not because of the centrality of it. That's what I wanted to suggest. Speculation. Okay, what's the other side? V'kasuv rachman v'yatzachinam. Ooh, so what's that?
So I would think, okay.
What does Rashi say?
Rashi says she gave him, and she said
she gave him. She took the total initiative. Wow. Read the Rashi.
So Rashi, she said to him,
yeah. That is wild. Again, the idea. Now again, you could understand this very narrowly. I'm not saying you can't. You can understand both narrowly, right? because it says ki kachi shisha, it doesn't say if yatzachina ben kasef, you know, ladon acher b'maynihu av. So lemaisa, you know, maybe she gets the money, as opposed to what I was saying, which was if it's kicha kicha and kesef, you know, isn't just a technicality, or the kinyan isn't a technicality, but it's the hagdara of the maisa kiddushin and so on and so forth, and it's symbolic of this and that and the next thing. So maybe the cheftza shel isha in the ishus has to get the kesef. So too, let's take the second part. So is the point that no, yatzachinam is the same kiddushin kesef, but you know, the fact that there's Kiddushei Kesef one way or another is one issue. Who initiates the Kenyan? Right, that's a second question. And never the twain shall meet. So that second question we only know from the Parsha of Ki Yikach Ish Isha V'lo Ketilakach Ish Al Ish. Go L'maisa, if we only had V'yatzachina Men Kosef and we didn't learn, you know, any Kinyan Kiddushin from Ki Yikach. But then, of course, you'd have to say that, you know, is this about, we'd think it's about Kesef particularly, or all Kiddushin? We'd say Kiddushin Shtar, would you think the same thing? Either way, that if you interpret it that way, that Ki Yikach teaches you two things. Number one, Kesef. Number two, the initiative of the Baal, that it has to be his Maisa Kiddushin. She has to be the Makabel. He's the Kone. She's the Makne. So, in theory, you can read this Gemara very narrowly. What I'm suggesting is another way to read it, and that is that it isn't. What the Gemara is saying is that these two things are not disconnected. And what we're saying is that if we interpret Kiddushin as a Kinyan, right, and as an Oser, right, and we're very specific about the nature of this relationship as reflected in the methodology that generates it, so then ki yikach ish isha v'lo ketilakach isha l'ish. But had it been simply, you know, v'yatzachina menka, you need a kinyan for ishas. You know, I don't want to say we'd go back to Ben Noach, you know, ratzahu, ratzahi, right? In a Ben Noach, we know the get, right, can go either way. You don't need a piece of paper, you don't need lishma, then it can be initiated by either party. Maybe the kiddushin, you know, well, it's Ratzahu Ratztahi, so there's no... Let's say there was a particular Maisa for Ben Noach, you know, Ishas. Does it have to be him as opposed to her? Could it be her too? Halachic Ishas requires that Dafka, you know, be Ki Yikach Ish. That's part of a whole gestalt of understanding what the Erusin is and what the relationship is. Yeah?
I mean, can we go the other way? I mean, I'm saying, if we're saying it's a Kinyan, We wouldn't have
a
halamina that she can be
kona
him, right?
Why not? If it's just a kind of an extraneous meeting of the minds? If it's just a das machna?
We usually, if we're assigning roles of subject and object, we usually...
Right, what I'm saying is that that itself is part of the story, of the bigger story, of Kinyan Ishus and Matan Torah. That's what I'm suggesting, essentially. Well, doesn't Rashi here say... What's the language? Did we read the language of Rashi or not? One second. We'll have a Kiddushin. Go ahead. So it matters a lot if you're talking about, you know, being an Oser... If it's just about, oh, the agreement to get married, it doesn't matter much at all. I'm just saying it's a funny Rashi. By the way, we should, of course, qualify this by looking at Tosis. One second. But let's look at Tosis and the Ramban and the Ritva for a minute. The Ramban and the Ritva deal with this question of, had you interpreted this way, like, what does it mean that you would have said, V'yatzachinam ein kasef is the makar for kasef? Right? But it could go either way. So who would get the kesef? He, the Baal, would get the kesef from her. Right? So they both wonder and work pretty hard. Like, how does that fit in with, what does it mean? V'yatzachinam ein kasef, ein kesef la'adon zeh, v'yesh kesef la'adon acher. Where do you say, my nihu av? Here it's the Baal. So the Ramban and the Ritva deal with this. Right? One second. It's a technical question, mostly, but not only. Here, one second. The Ritva is more expansive, so maybe we'll read the Ritva for a minute. Okay, photocopy it. It's a good line, actually, right? Everybody should remember that. Schutz bito, you know, zok salei rachman of los schutz chasno. Yeah. Vikalameimar danan darshinan av yesh kesef lo don acher umanu bal. Okay. Wow. Pretty wild, right? Then velinira bezet teretz acher kaspa ledida, right? Darshinan adon lavia. V'chiyavi'i kaspa l'didei darshinan adon bala. Amazing. Right? En kesef l'adon zaviyesh kesef l'adon acher mayniu. The answer is pick your poison, you know. If she's being makabel, then it's the av. Right? And if he's being makabel, then it's the bal. Wow. Nice. Then the Ritva goes on to try to figure out how to coordinate this whole discussion with the Gemara later on in the second parak of Kiddushin, which discusses Gerushin and Erusin, right, for Nara and so on, the father's role. The Machlokas of Yochanan and Reish Lakish, we'll talk about that, probably not until I come back, on Daf Mem Gimel. How does it fit in? And Ritva has a bit of a Kiddush, how to read the Gemara there and the Gemara here. But, just one more second, that's one problem. The Balei Tosis cut down this Hava Mina significantly. Yaakov, how so? Both two Tosis in.
Tosis means he gave her, and also she said a different language. She says, I'm Christian. Tosis says, they try.
Which one are you reading? Right. Shomer's. To answer the question that these Rishonim ask, they said, no, they don't go as far as Rashi. Rashi says that the Habamina really was. If it was Kedushay Kesef, you could go. Anybody could take the initiative. Because if it's Kesef, who cares? That's just a shocking line. What do you mean, who cares? But I'm trying to take away the sting a little bit. I'm also saying something in the Chudash. But I'm trying to say that depending on how you understand the role that Kesef plays and where it comes from and how it's written and so on, you know, that'll dictate whether or not it's interchangeable. Doesn't matter who takes the initiative. You know, who's the Kona, who's the Makna, or not. Fine. But Balei Tosis are not buying that either. So what they're saying is, if it's Nasna he, we'll get to Nasan Huvi Amri, we'll get to that whole sugya soon, but Nasna, that's Heya with base, Nasna he, basically, is always disqualified, even if you hold the Yatzachina. But Amra he, is only disqualified if you hold Kiikach. Okay. It's not as radical as Rashi, which is maybe better, but I still think it's very mechudash. That's the first tosis. What's the second tosis? So what do you make of that? Something this good or not? It's pretty good. Well, I shouldn't say it. I shouldn't put words in my... Interesting Havamina or not? Well, what is Havamina? That maybe the din
doesn't exist. I would think that if this pasuk is talking about kedusha bia and by kasef, I think that
there's a difference between kedusha kasef and kedusha bia, right? And that the din of his initiative is limited to kedusha bia, not doesn't apply to. Well, what about kedusha shtar? What do you say about shtar?
Doesn't say.
So you have to look in the some of the other Rishonim and put shtar in different places. But of course, this is perfect with the idea that there are two types of the method of kiddushin, right? Highlights, the emphasis and the again in the end it might be ishus ish, but there are two ways essentially to generate an ishus, right? When you do it through kiddushe bia, so then. It's a ma'isa kedushin, it's very much part of the, hagdara in a fundamental way, and therefore it's ki yikach ish isha, right? However, if you do a bederach kesef, so you're kind of, jumping into choshen mishpat, it's not that you're importing choshen mishpat in a way that then, integrates into ishus, which is where we're trying to explain kicha kicha, right? But and especially from the Choshen Mishpat that it comes from, the particular Choshen Mishpat it comes from, but it's more like there are two ways you can accomplish kiddushin with a kiddushin kind of a kinyan, in which case the pecking order, the nature of the relationship, all of that is important, or you could just generate it, by a kind of a dine mominus kinyan, in which case, either only in terms of the amira or in terms of the Nesina too, right? It's more, at least the initiation can be either way, neutral. So if you want to take the view that some of these issues, namely who gets the money, the father or the daughter, right? Pinnett said, ki yikachenat v'yatzachina. Or in terms of initiating, right? The Nesina, the Amira, both, in terms of the possibility of distinguishing Kiddushei Kesef and Kiddushei Bia regarding this issue, if you want to think that those are narrower points and then say, oh, Giluyei Milsa, that's totally fine. I think that is a fine and good way to read the Gemara. But if we think that for other reasons too, that whether the Makar is Kicha Kicha or the Makar is V'yatzachinam, itself reflects a different perspective on A, the relationship to other darkei kiddushin, B, the nature of kiddushin itself and the nature of this method of erusin, then these distinctions loom much, much larger. Okay? Did you have more to add? We're good.
I read mine again.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Just the hav meaning that bia would be by
Kiyika.
Is that somehow Kiyika?
Well, that's a big discussion in the Rishonim anyways, as you know. I mean, read the next Tosis. Uba'ala malamit shenikdus bebiya. Go ahead. Kiyika, the Parshas Arayis, and then Tosis discusses. And if you recall, we also had this, we were talking about this on the base, on the
Lashon of Kenyan, if all three.
Yeah, yeah, correct. Whether B is a Lashon Kenyan, number one. And also correct. And then also when we had it on, when we talked about the relationship between, Hara'a in Erusin and Nisuin, and that also being, a Kiyikach, context. Tosis Livamos, Tosis in Kiddushin, the Rebbeinu Nissim Gaon, the Rambam, and so on. So, yeah. Both whether it's a kinyan and whether kiyikach certainly as a language applies to it, and then just remember also the Gemara Testament base, which is part of our Rambam Divrei Sofrim discussion, which is and the Yerushalmi right in the beginning of kiddushin. Had it said kiyikach ish uva ala, you might have thought that it refers to the need for both kesef and bia. So there too, the kicha means kesef, but the kicha is referring to bia. It's not kiyikach or uva'ala, right? It's both. But that, Essentially, that's what Tosas is addressing. Okay, so now let's look back and try to fill in some of the blanks. Again, I'm sorry to interject further with this, but before we do, I should also just say one thing very quickly about one more thing about Yibum. When we had the Havamin about Chalitza working for regular Ishus, B'makom Get, so I just have to share that in the Kamai, page 46 maybe? Yeah. Who is it exactly? A very fascinating suggestion. Who is this? Oh, the Ra'ah. Yeah, which I don't think is the real Ra'ah, but whatever. This Perusha called the Kiddushei HaRa'ah has a suggestion that the Gemara never really thought that Chalitza would work for regular Ishus. Right. We spent quite a bit of time trying to explain how Mechudash that is, what it's based on, right, and so on. Whether it's here on Daf Gimel Amud Beis or on Yadal Amud Aleph. Very big Kiddush. So what he says is, no, the Gemara only meant when you have a Yibum situation, La'achar Bia, La'achar the Yibum, so maybe Chalitza should work then. Pretty good, right? Okay. So that is this line. Ikel Meimer Dayo, right? The Chitema, Kodim Bia, Hudabai Lemela, Pabavadi, La'achar Bia, Lo Yoel, Chalitza, Imkein Lema, Isha Tochiach, Klamar Isha Shenivala Tochiach. Yeshlomar Diyavama Achar Bia Boy Lemelath. Shagam He Nikres Isha. And the question is whether or not only a get works for her or even Chalitza works for her. So, of course, that just, I forgot to mention it when I should have mentioned it the other day, but I mentioned the other day. And then we had a little discussion afterwards about it as well. That the Gemara says about the Gemara says that, you know, we have a limud to teach you that when you do Yibum, after Yibum, you're yotze only beget. So I mentioned that that shakla v'tarya can be understood in one of two ways. One is that the shame Ishus shel Yibum, right, doesn't exist. Or it's Paka, the second, you know, that she becomes Ishto l'chol advarim. And that's why, of course, you need a get. And if that's the pshat, then there also would be no Havamina, that there would be a difference between a Yavam l'achar Bia, right, and a regular, you know, case of Erusin. But, as I mentioned, it's possible that what the Gemara is really telling us is that even though there's something called Ishus Shel Yibum, and it expresses itself in other things, that nonetheless, it is, you know, it's sufficiently advanced or has enough common denominator that you're still Yotze Beget, and maybe you're only Yotze Beget. But if that's the case, then the possibility that there are differences in this Ishus, and even the possibility that maybe Chalitza should still work, would apply. So Eli brought to my attention the other day something which, there's a whole list of these things, I just don't want to go into them, but the discussion about Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom in the context of Yibum, right? What was the language you said? But that was a stronger language than I was coming.
Mary Ben-Leith said that there's no Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom because
it's not called Shtei Nashim. You get the, that's a strong language. And we were talking about the Ritva has the view that the Chiv Ona of Ishus Shel Yibum is different. Oh, kids enough of Mimela.
And because of that,
it's not Shtei Nashim that he chose.
No, I just say it's Lo Mikri Shtei Nashim.
But Kivan Shinat Nasus Mimela.
Punishing Isha is the choice to marry.
Okay, maybe. Could be.
It's like the Rambam about Kivan Sharusa Lisa Isha.
Kivan?
Sharusa Lisa Isha.
Uh-huh.
Like
maybe.
Choice.
I hear. Maybe. Yeah, so anyways, it's a whole Yerushalmi seems to have this idea. So this is just a good expression of it, you know, if you're looking for it. It's a Havamina, and it could be that the maskan is that the whole idea is wrong, or the maskan is that this application is wrong. But yeah.
I also thought that in the Mishnah when it said Kona is Asma, that people also suggested that Av Mir too. I don't remember exactly.
Oh, that. So.
Kona is Asma Bechalitza, because it wasn't compared to Kona is Asma.
Because of the lack of which the Mfarshim all point out, that it doesn't parallel Kona is Asma Begetta Misa Sabal, because that's Kona is Asma Begetta Misa Sabal is if you go ahead with the first part, the Erusin. But you're not Kona is Asma Bechalitza if you do the Ibum.
Right.
It's only the Zika that has the Chalitza. So in a way, kind of, you know, that works in a little bit to this too. Okay. Anyways, that's a side point. Let's get back to V'yatzachinam Ein Kasef. So this idea that if you hold V'yatzachinam Ein Kasef and that it's, you know, La'adon Acher B'hainu Av, and, you know, that might make it a more technical or extraneous kind of a Kasef and not one which is comparable to the Kicha Kicha kind of Kasef, right, is something which I think we need to try to chart in the Rishonim and in the language and so on. So number one, it partially depends. I mean, the father's walking away with this money. And the question is, how do we assess that? And then the Gemara is challenging it by saying, on Gimel Amud Beis, that, no, you know, maybe she gets the money, even though he's the Bailim, you know, in terms of deciding on the issues. And then the Gemara rejects it. And then the Gemara suggests the possibility of being Mechalek, right, between Nara and Ktana, and exactly the scope of that distinction is also something that needs to be examined. Right. So, part of the problem, part of the issue here is the issue that we've touched on before, and that is how to look at Kiddushei Ktana. Right? The more that we look at Kiddushei Ktana as still being, you know, to a large extent, her ishus, right? The fact that he walks away with the money, you know, kind of downgrades the significance of the kesef and the kinyan kesef in this case. You know, as being an appeasement of the rishus shiyatza mimenu, or just a, you know, some sort of a you know, technical kinyan, because she is the miskadeshes. Of course, let me make it clear. She's a miskadeshes. I mean, she's the one who lives in this marriage. And physically, she's a miskadeshes. He's not there. I mean more in terms of the question of whether there's something called a chalos ishus shel ketana. We were just talking about a chalos ishus shel yibum, right? What about a chalos ishus shel ketana? Is the way that a ketana is married, you know, just that? It's just a way of getting married, given her minority status, so her father, you know, makes, he's the apotropos for her life decisions, you know, at this point in time. But it's her marriage in every respect. And he's like, you know, I ain't shlichos lektana. The Torah was memanahim, you know, her shliach regarding these issues. And that gives him a certain amount of leeway, but it's her ishus lagamri. There's no separate chalos ishus shel ketana. Right? Or no, there really is an ishus shel ketana. And the father's role then isn't like, you know, the Torah appointed shliach, apotropos, you know, etc. But he is, at least on the Maisa Kedushin, he's the Bailam on the Maisa Kedushin, one might say, not just Lemaisa, but even more abstractly. And to some extent, he's a party to this issue. It's not physically a party, doesn't live with the couple, right? But he, you know, it's his chalos issues. Now, the fact that it extends beyond, you know, into her godless is surely something that we have to think about. And it's had it been a din that, you know, she, you know, could have miun, like the din d'rabbanon, you know, and when she becomes a gedola, let's say you had a halacha that, unlike miun, which is Kedushei Drabanan, Mitchila, you know, and then she has the right of Miyun. Let's say the Torah set it up in such a way that Midoraisa, she's married, but she has a right of Miyun, you know, when she is a Gedola. Either Mikanu Lahaba, or even the Mafreya, but it's still Kedushin Daraisa till this point. This is not true. Let me make it clear, right? Had that been the case, right, it would have been clearer that there's something called the chalos ishus shel ptano. Right? But because it isn't the case, and that if he is mekadesher to someone when she's a ktana, she doesn't have a right of refusal, and that kiddushin continues, and so on. It's the same kiddushin. So is that because, yeah, I mean, the chalos kiddushay ktana, you know, morphs into a gedola or just continues or whatever you want to say. Probably no nafkamina after she's a gedola. Or no, it's because there really never is or was a entity, a chefza shald or a chalos called kiddushay ktana. It's just like he's the super shliach defying the dinim of shliach l'ktana when it comes to the salacha. And it's biyado l'kadsha, and it's, you know, he's a representative. It's like she was mekadeshes herself. She just can't. Right? Again, it's she's a ktana, or a kol she'ein, kol di bayavid shliach ibay mashvi. So how can he do something for her that she can't do for herself? That's the Torah swooped in, and these are exceptions to those rules. Right. So I think generally that there are three ways, I guess, to look at this. One is, he's a kind of glorified shliach. And number two is that he's, you know, there's something called chalos ishus shel ktana. And somebody in between is the chalos ishus is the same, but he's still the bailam on the ma'isa kiddushin. Something in between. This question, or these three, let's say, different ways to look at it, are applicable to kiddushei ketana. They're applicable to nisuei ketana. I'm referring to something we talked about already. Same idea. And they're applicable to the institution of Ama Ivriya, especially, which might morph into yiud. And having said that, you know, it's also very possible to be mechalek between them. You might say that regarding this question of how we look at the daughter, how we look at the father in this equation, that we are mechalek maybe between Erisin and Nesuin even. We talked about that already, and we'll document it more. Certainly, when it comes to Amar Ivriya. When the Gemara searches to try to find, you know, a case of Ishus, Bal Korcha, the Isha, right, and there's discussion about what about Amar Ivriya Yiyud, right? It's partly that discussion. And then when the Rishonim say, well, what about Kiddushei Ketana, right? So sometimes they give the answer, and what about Nisuei Ketana? If they don't give the same answer for Kiddushei Ketana and the Suei Ketana, they're being Mechalek. But as we know, sometimes they give the answer, well, it's not Bal Korcha because the father is giving his Haskama. Who's the Bailim whose Bal Korcha we care about? Right? The father or the daughter? It's part of the story. Although it's a little complicated. Because if she is the party to the Ishus and he is making the decision, but if it's as her super Shliach, is that Bal Korcha? On the other hand, if it's his ishus, even though she lives with it, you know, then it's not even that he's making the decision for her as much as it's his decision. Right. So it's a little complicated, all of this. Either way, what I'd like to say is, the more we look at ishus of ketana as a chalos, ishus shel ketana, and him as a player, at least having bailus on the Maisa Kedusha, not just being her glorified, you know, shliach, but maybe even more, you know, as it being a chalos ishus shel ketana, the easier it might be to say that v'yatzachina main kasef avol yesh kasef la'adon acher v'haynu ha'av, right, that doesn't detract from our kiddushei kasef kicha perspective. So what we're saying really is, what you see from Yitzchak ben Kosef, that he gets the kesef, that doesn't really disrupt this idea, because that's ishus, you know, where the two of them are both in it together. Whereas, if we were to see his role, you know, more limited, So then the fact that he gets the money, unless you think, you know, it's just a technicality, like it's relayed, you know, the money goes from, you know, her bank into his bank because, you know, there's a hole in her bank account, or there's like a redirect software message in her bank account. So it's more lemaisa, he gets the money, but it's her money. It's her money even though he gets the money. If you say that also, so then we don't need to say as much about v'yatzachinam ein kasef being a different kind of a limud. But if it really belongs to him, the money belongs to him per se, and he isn't the baila money or the cheftza, the chalos of the ishus, then it implies that the kasef here is more trivial. Now, the possibility of distinguishing between nara and ktana regarding this issue, of course, is very appealing as well, and that could be gufo what the Gemara is suggesting, although we have to still pin down, you know, the particulars, what the Gemara really meant. So we do find some interesting formulations in the Rishonim. Let me just mention a couple before we have to stop. And again, on the Thursday that we come back, we'll pursue it a little bit more. Number one, again, in the Kamoi here, which I did not give you to look at, but it's a little complicated. On page 50, there are two things. One is the Shita Lonodalami, and the other one is the Ra'ah again. A very fascinating discussion. The Yesh Makshin. This is if you hold, V'yatzachinam ein kosef u'mayniu, ladon acher mayniu a, right? Yesh kesef ladon acher mayniu a. Pirush, ein kesef ladon ze, kishiyotza mimenu. Aber yesh kesef ladon acher bitziyasa mimenu, dahainu aviyah, shekesef kidusheha shelo. Okay. V'yesh makshin, listen to this. Nehi, the kesef kidusheha le'aviyah bitziyasa mimenu, aval mikomakom emalach durishuz ba'al lo ayla ad ovid ba k'niya cheres o kesef oshtaro biya. Wow. The chihechi de gabe odon omrino dim rishuz odon nafka v'shuveni l'knesses b'rishuz odon mi'olam hachanami ay. So the question is, you have to read it a few times to understand what he's asking. What's he asking? That V'yatzachinam ein kasef, meaning the father gets the money, might be enough to appease the father, because she has to kind of, you know, neutralize his influence. But how does she become the Baal's wife? You should need either Bia and Shtar, also interesting, either Bia and Shtar, Bia or Shtar, or maybe another kesef. So if that doesn't highlight the narrowing or a different perspective on v'yatzachinam ein kasef, right, I don't know what does. Now, of course, it's not true, so that's helpful. Right? How not true is this? You don't need another kesef, and you don't need shtar and or bia in addition. Is that because, you know, it's true that the focus here is on being mafkia rishus ha'av rather than knisa rishus ha'baal, but maybe when there is an av, then removing his influence is all you need for knisa rishus ha'baal. Is that the point? Or maybe two things happen at the same time when you give her kesef. Right? One is that you're, you know, again, the first perspective, what I just said, is certainly retaining this av amina though, right? The second perspective, or maybe two things are happening. Number one, you're neutralizing the husband, the father. And number two, you know, before it went into his bank account for his neutralization, there's also a nesina. Or maybe number three, and that is, this is the proper method, right, is of kesef, has nothing to do with knisa l'rishus ha'baal at all. Right, it's just das makna, whatever she needs. You know, she doesn't have a father, or she's a gdola, so it's to be motzi mershus atzma, but not to be nichnas mershus abal. Yeah.
Is he saying this within nara or ktana as well?
So
it sounds like it makes a lot more sense within nara, no?
I think it's very mechudash even in Nara.
Yeah, but Kana is even.
I think it's really no. This is before the line in the Gemara Be'ema Ladida. So he's sort of saying it even in Ketana. I agree with you; it's more sensible in Nara, but I think it's pretty mechudash in Nara too. Either way, he's saying it on Ve'ema, at least in the way that this is organized. Yeah, it's before Ve'ema Ladida. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Talmud Rashba. Sorry, I said it was the Ra. The Kiddush Ra. It's Talmud Rashba. Okay, so what's the answer? V'lav kushehi. T'hacha hachi kamrinan. En kesef ladon zeh. Kishehi rotza liknos atzma. Lo tzorech kesef ahava birshusa. Aval yesh kesef ladon acher. Shim rotza adam liknosa tzorech lasas kesef ladon acher. Shim rotza adam liknosa tzorech lasas kesef lavia. V'kanila. Okay, basically meaning the kinyan abal is by means of neutralizing the rishusa acheres, which is the father, or if there wasn't a father, then her own rishus. But it's not a rejection of the idea. The Eishim Farshim D'Hachi Kamar, Ein Kesef Ladon Zed D'Konafkem Rishusei, right, in the case of Mehai Adon, D'Ka'ayla Rishusei, Haino Ha'av. Aval Yesh Kesef Ladon Acher, D'Konafkem Rishusei, Mahu Adon, the Ka'ayla Birshusei V'hainu Abal Alma'ayle Birshusei. So the second shot is it's not enough to neutralize the father herself and then there's Kiddushin. No, the Kinyan is really Machnis Lirshus Abal. That's how it works. Just if there's a father, he's the address for this. This is a very interesting question. In other words, is the Kesef right about Yitzia Mirshus Hakodemes, if you could put it that way, or is it about the Baal and the Kinyan to the Baal? Yeah. No.
Is it related to the Ram in the Dark, but like you have your mouth
or something? Interesting question. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, it's a good point. It definitely, again, it's parallel to that for sure. Now, what the Ran in the Dharm says, which is that we don't need her to agree, right? We just. But that could be because the Maisa is a Maisa Knisa Lershuso. But in the sense that it focuses on, neutralizing rather than creating or building, in that sense, I think it's parallel. Say that one more time. Okay, maybe. But we'll get to that when we get to. I want to speak more about. There's more to say about that anyway. Yeah.
Even in the first thing, she's not saying that she goes into her own rishus.
Well, what I'm saying is he doesn't. He thinks that neutralizing the rishus is what brings her into his rishus. No. Ein kesef. To get her out, she imrotza adam liknosa tzarich lasas kesef lavia
b'kani la. So that's what the resolution is saying. Now we're saying no. It's tavi b'rishusa. He gives her kesef and then she comes into
his rishus. She comes into his rishus as long as he neutralizes the other rishus that's making claims on her, but not because it's a separate knisa l'rishuso.
I don't sound like the answer is between us is structurally the same. It's just the question is whether the rishus she's being nichnas into.
Yeah.
In the case of the Eved, was her own rishus or the rishus of the
Av? Well, forget about that. I'm not so concerned about the Eved. I'm concerned about... Oh. You mean on the Eved side? But why do we care about that so much? I mean, as the parallel?
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying... I'm more interested in the question... The assumption of the question was that there are two different things happening and they don't happen simultaneously or in an integrated fashion. They're not two things happening at the same time and it's not an integrated... thing either. Namely, there are two things. One is neutralizing what was and creating, what is or what will be. And I thought the two answers were different in emphasizing on that point.
Where's the answer? I
thought the first answer was saying in Okanami, but all you need to do, kind of what Noah was saying also, all you need to do is neutralize the other factors, and then you have a kinyan. I thought the second one was saying, no, that's the way that you do kinesa l'rishuso. Not that you don't need kinesa l'rishuso separately.
I thought the
ka'ayli b'rishusei behind Nahabal. Alma ayli b'rishusei, the second answer. And the first answer was no, in Achanami. They both agree that there aren't two separate dinim here, but in terms of what they're emphasizing. But one could have just said the whole thing is wrong, and that it's just a bank account thing, and you know, it's regular Kiddushei Kesef. Now, similarly, the Shita L'no Delami, I guess I'll have to finish with this. Oh, okay, I really wanted to get the Ramban in. I'll give you one more minute. The Ema L'dida. Oh. So the V'hachi Kama, Kishi Yotze Me'adon Zeh Ein Lo Kesef Me'avia Shehi Nechneses Birshu. So, in a case of Avdus, she doesn't, you know, have to get also Kesef from father, aval yesh lo kesef b'yitzia acheres mibal shenichneses l'rishuso. And she'll note it means the opposite way, right? The emphasis is not on the fact that the money goes to the rishus of the person she's leaving, but that when she makes a transition, she has to unlike Ebed or Ama, she has to receive money, right, from the person whose rishus she doesn't get money from her father, who she returns to, but she's going to get money from her husband, who she's coming into. Ah, so that's a different emphasis. That's the emphasis of Kiddushei Kesef. But then he asks, "Bim Tomar Ili Dida Gzereshava De Kicha Kicha Lamali." So what do you need Kicha Kicha for? The Bishlo Makir Minon De Lavua Itzrich Ki Ikach Lo Tema Diavi Ihi Lavua The Kitchenav Shebishtar Ubia. Right, now he goes more back into the Talmud Rajba idea, which is, you know, maybe she needed avalom mikanya bekesef labal elam amras dili dida hu diyesh kesef. Whether or not she gets the money or not, that's going to dictate, is this about yitzia mirshus ha'av, in which case she should need shtar or bia. Notice he doesn't think kesef to be nichnas l'shus ha'bal. Or no, she gets the money. Havad el miknebei hu diyoyv lebal ki yikach lama, then what do you need ki yikach, if that already teaches us yishloma rav leislek zereshav the ki yikach, which is also chiddush. So let me mention one other thing very quickly. When the Gemara considers the possibility, right, that maybe at least in Nara, maybe even Ketana, first in Ketana, she could get the money even though he's doing the kiddushin. So Tosas asks the question, well, I mean, it's a svar b'alma. You don't need a makar to teach you maisi adayim if he can sell her. So if he could sell her, why do you need a makar that he can be makadisher? Right? Tosas alatar. Gimel Beis asks that question. What does Tosas answer? Yishlomar, what? What's the answer?
You can't sell kiddushin.
Kiddushin is not the equivalent of Maisi Adayim. It's not subsumed under the ability. Just because he can sell her, right, doesn't mean that he can get her Kesef Kiddushin. It's not like Maisi Adayim, which is Mechira, and Maisi Adayim are different forms of the same thing. By the way, that goes to the question that we talked about before also, which is whether Amma Ivriya is more about Ishus or Avdus, or it's about, you know, work and money. Okay, that's a Tosis. But the Ramban, interestingly, answering the same question, says exactly the opposite. And with this we'll conclude for now. The Ramban says it's because the money that he takes for Kiddushin is really the equivalent of his financial control over her that this actually doesn't work. Why? Because if he was to Mekadosh her when she's a Ketana, right? How could it be that the Kiddushin lasts even after she's a Nara? Right? After all, he can only sell her till she's a Nara. So if the Kiddushei Kesef was really, you know, just a function of the equivalent of Maisei Adayim and Mechira, right? Then he shouldn't be able to be Mekadosh her for more than her Nara. Well, let's read the line, and with this we'll conclude. Right? And therefore, name a kid strict kralinara. Ikalamemer sokadai de chamina zvune matzi mizbana mishum de nafkale benaros. Uma mochala rishon the sheni kos chushatavaliado. Avok kiduche la matzi mekadesh. He can sell her because, you know, she goes out at the same moment that financially he loses control over her anyway. So then to see maisi adayim. And to see Mechira of Amma, you know, is kind of, you know, equivalent is one thing. Aval kidushe lo motzi mekadesh, the holonaf kimrshus bailim, benarus, ubagrus, kihechid anaf kimrshus e da'av. Right? If this were true for Ishus, then it should only work till Narus. The inadam bocher davar shena shalo. Therefore, Kamash Malon. So again, these are again two different perspectives. The Havamina, at least, or what you would have said if not for the Xeris HaKasu, is the opposite of Tosis. Right? Because Tosis is saying you can't look at Kesef Kiddushin as a commodity, as a kind of Maitzi Adayim, part of his financial control over her. It's Ishus. And the Ramban is saying, well, we would have thought that you would, and that's why Dafka, we need Xeris HaKasuvs because it's defying, you know, the rule of his financial control over her. Okay. So once again, when the Rishonim, with this I'll just leave you, v'chitelef nelef b'boshes u'pka. Right, so all the Rishonim had a terrible problem, Bali Tosis articulated. That is, we're trying to figure out in the Gemara about boshes u'pkam. Oh, I'm sorry. I overstayed my welcome.
No, I don't have class 3.
Okay, so 30 more seconds. But if we want to dive, we'll just dive in the hall. Everybody is, you know, it's kashalai pridaskin, so I don't want to stop. But the reason that he collects boshes of pgam is because iboi, you know, masor lemenuva lemukashchin, say the Rishonim, based on the Gemara and Ksuvis, but that based on the assumption that he can do that, and the whole Gemara's weighing whether he can do that or not. So the Ramban comes up with a very interesting idea that, you know, what's basically exactly this question. Is he her shliach? Who has the yad? Is he a shliach or is he a bailin? And the Ritva has a similar formulation. Okay, well, I'm going to stop here. But these Shaklavataryas and the Rishonim are all about the status of Kiddushei Kesef and about the role of the Baal in Kiddushei Ketana. I just want to pin them down a little bit more, and mostly we'll move on to Kesef B'Divrei Sofrim for the Rambam on the day that I return. Have a good week, everyone.